الكريم. اليوم في الطابق هو هو الطفل اليوم we have about an increase of four provinces to talk to. There is a team from national treasury. Every provincial treasury of the three provinces, to say Mr. Quincy and Mr. Maybach. Then National Treasury is Mambo, Ulrike Rida or Huida. In Costa they would say Huida. Rida, I hope I've done it right. Then Pitbula, Mr. Pitbula, and Emmanuel Clay. And then they will talk to us about the performance of this money given to some of us. We see the Eastern Cape has decided to send with respect to AOG is on leave, and then the MEC is committed elsewhere. NORCAP is also here. They asked for additional 100 million grants, and when they were given that money, they just decided to throw it to district municipalities. We will have to talk about that. We do know that the Eastern Cape is struggling. There's a Section 101 exercise that's taking place in that province. That's just the extent of the problem. I'm not sure why this state is not there. And this is why I was asking some people about issues of consistency. This state is also in the same dire state. If we will see that some money was withheld. So, Madam Bamba, you'll have to raise your voice. Because I see no loud hail like this. Over to you. If you can't raise your voice, then let's stand up. What is my
I don't think anyone has ever seen the
problem. Then on the table.
Yeah, because people can't see you. What is madam? And this one is the table on the political housing and the expenses of the
The housing conditional grant intervention, housing and human settlement development. It's showing that $1.6 billion from that 1 billion that was given to the province, 500 was taken, and the total available to the budget was 562. From 236 to 263 and 100 million was taken, and then it was given to Foundation. Then the spending on the public number is temporary. Despite the fact that the price of the 500 million was taken, they have spent 7.8%, giving to an understanding of 161. And first case, where the 100 million was also taken from them, they have spent 85.7%, which is an understanding of 79 million. This is how the spending is showing the sense of the but this one, this stuff is coming for all the provinces. Then this one is breaking it down for per province. For instance, in Mpumalanga, in March, they spent 176 million during March. Then they're going up with one of the countries that's showing that huge spending in March.
All right, but you seem to be a bit biased towards the recent case on the Swiss League. And there's so much understanding in Northwest on slide there. 89 million rand. The Western Cape, 72 million. I mean, I'm worried about that biasness. And you don't seem to be saying much in respect of these other two. I'm saying the housing conditional grant. Yeah. They have the understanding there. I'm saying Northwest is 89 million. Western Cape is 72 million. And then in if you say the 79, it is fine. But let's welcome the team from the national NHBRC. No, don't worry, it's actually the link in the end. Because I hope everything is gonna be fine. What I wanted to raise with them is now that they are here is that I hope we're talking about this under-performer. And the under-performer, well, let me just repeat again. The under-performers that appeared before me, she was talking about the Free State and the Eastern Gate. I was also pointing out that in Northwest there's a huge underspending of 89 million. The Western Cape 72, Mpumalanga 24, Limbombo 18. Of course, the Gauteng has an overspending of 55. While Zulu Natal 485,000. Now, what I really wanted to say then with NHBRC is in respect of we know that Eastern Gate is in trouble, big trouble. But the first problem we have is that they have not sent the responsible and accountable people. One of those is on leave, and I suspect because I mean she's brand new as a legal designer. I just decided to go on leave. And MEC is very busy. I don't see your hard copy in the same case. I think you just brand overseas. Can I have your copy? You say you walk in here and start playing with your with your games. I've not seen your copy, but okay. What we will not do though is to because we really know you're in trouble. What we want to get to NHBRC, I'm not sure, because they will really be confirming the same thing that we know. One of the things that we do have an interest in the search of the thing is whether the contractors are registered, one, and whether projects are registered. And what is your general view about the Eastern Gate as NHBRC? Remember, in our last meeting with yourselves, you did say that they are paid with some money, and so you are starting to do some work in the Eastern Gate. So basically, now it is history that they are really are in this messy situation. Do we think In the near future, there is hope in the Eastern Cape in particular? Madam.
I feel very hopeless because my CEO is not here and my technical staff are not here. However, I'm a very hopeful person, and the minister says we have started on currency. And fish in the hardworking office. I look out in my mind that we are on a turnaround strategy with them. But this is a problem. I think next week we left off the ending and enough is that we really are suffering from this mess overall. As for the registration of contractors and the projects being registered, enrolled, I think it's an answer that can come sometime during, even if an opportunity, we can go and phone Dr. Mahadi's division and get the data immediately. Then we have the answer. They can even email something to us here.
That's fine. I think what they must do then, as he goes out, he must do that for Eastern Cape, the Free State, the Northwest, the Western Cape. I mean, I know the Western Cape has given a report last year, but it wasn't a good working relationship. The very HBRC. I think that would be very, very useful just to have a sense of where we are in the sense of those things. So that we just, we've got to know, are we winning the battle here? Right. Madam Robin.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask you to make me I'm delighted to hear that the lady there is hopeful. So I want to know what is that hope based on. And I'm glad to hear about the surrender. I understand from people who talk to me who are building, doing projects in the UK, that their struggle is still very well to pay the registration. And they are selected very quickly, but when it comes back to monitoring, when you need people to come and inspect your foundation to do the progress, that is where they don't get the service. And this is one of the major problems. The major that inspectors are responsible, but, you know, or perhaps lack of inspectors. Can you perhaps make some comments saying how we can do this? Because this is a list. Only an allegation, but the money is being collected, but they don't see the service that is being delivered. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam?
Well, what we are working on is, I don't know how far down the line we are with that, but we are commissioning outside inspectors, outside of NHPRC, and our own few engineers are acting as supervisors. Oh, sorry. I think the best way is to keep very close contact with our own offices. You see, what we have done is NHPRC. When I started with NHPRC, there was a lot of misconception about NHPRC. From Parliament down to the community level. And we have tried to address this problem as best we can. We found a situation which was very unsavory, and that has taken a lot of our energy, I mean not energy, active energy, funding, but the provincial energy itself has been wasted on doing these forensics is unnecessary to be done, and it has cost communities a lot of money. Money which could have been plowed into upgrading the delivery system itself. Secondly, NHGRC has had to extend outreach. We now have North Australia, the local offices, provincial offices, we now have satellite offices. In the provinces. We are also looking at having mobile units for far-flung districts like in the Northern Cape. We've just been to the Northern Cape where this idea really matured that indeed we do need mobile units and that are going to go out into the villages. However, we are also looking at the possibility of importing external engineers where our government has protocol agreements with other countries, Brazil, India, Cuba. There could also be questions of African engineers in Western board because it could also matter that at the current stage in the country with 2010, people are leaving the government system for better paying jobs. I mean, the subject is all aspects and for reality. So that is something that needs to be monitored and that should be managed properly. And I think there should be a way of coordinating the project of bringing outside. they still have to be retrained about South African law and the way South Africa works, and it's better if they are all trained at the same time or in batches, and they are put to work and rotated as much as possible. However, NCRC now agreed to bring in important within the country engineers at NCRC. Well, we are really very concerned about it. That was very proud. What was done with them. They cooperated with the provinces and the different cases were shining examples of how we have worked with the province. And in Bombo is one such a province where we have very good cooperation with the provinces. And the other province was in Natal, was from there already. But then the growing understanding, if I can say that, and I have always said that we are moving forward. Our land here, with our subsistence, can come with us.
Whilst you are organizing yourself, let me allow her some of it.
Thank you, Chair. I'm encouraged by what I'm talking about. I'm just wondering, imagine enough youth of people in South Africa. There are a lot of people who have retired, some have said early retirement. And what about our grey heads who are sitting around at home? Isn't there an opportunity that one could get people like engineers or people who have their skills back out of retirement on a contract basis and just get them in to do a bit of assisting and troubleshooting? Because I acknowledge bringing in people from outside and sometimes a problem with languages and so on, they need training. But what about people within our society who are already familiar? Is there any effect to people out of retirement?
Yes, I think there is an effort to utilize the database. We are very close cooperative. I mean, we accept the ability to start it, the start for engineers, the top of the start of engineers. We have access to them. We can have the database, and we can access the database. It's absolutely nothing within the policies of the NHGRC that can stop us from doing that. In fact, it's something that we know, I think, has been raised on a few occasions at board level, at council level, that we should look into the retired engineer. And the pressure we've started to take now, I think, perhaps what we should be looking at is just a clear analysis of what is happening. Where are the needs, what are the needed solutions, and then what kind of expertise is required at what point. We need that kind of analysis coming from provinces, working with our provincial ministers. Then we take that and we analyze it jointly, all our provincial ministers and whoever is interested, and then we see how we can start approaching these retired engineers.
Okay. I've seen a lady and a gentleman walk. I'm not sure where they come from. Oh, from Puma.
Yes.
Puma Ranga. All right. Well, you will only speak on the Free State issues for now. That's right. No, it's in here, but let me speak in here. Yeah. Let's talk about, I think that's
our situation
here. Oh, this is good. Welcome. I think let's talk about the whole year for the 10K, precisely because my friend is cool.
How is that?
What we want to do, especially for the Eastern Cape, as I was saying, is in the ICU. Let's have the whole picture. So that we engage, we might then see what would be the way forward for the same thing. But really, there's a possibility again that the 1.2 billion might not be utilized in financial year. And so the whole picture, therefore, for us is critical. We did approve 1.2 billion knowingly. I mean, we did it reluctantly ourselves as a committee, but the national treasury really persuaded us. At least we are showing some intention. If there is an intention, then the owners will then lie with them to try and do things, issues of commitment, programs, and so on. And so, but I'm saying, last year they failed to spend a billion. 500 plus million was taken away. The remainder, they could, the 161 that you see here, as understand, is a remainder from the remaining 500 million that they had. So clearly, again, something like 600 plus million was too huge for the Eastern Cape. So then, that picture then would be very useful for the Eastern Cape for now. So that we must have a picture whether our hope is proper. Specifically for the Eastern Cape for now, so that if we hope for the best, we must then be able to know that at least there is some light at the end of the tunnel over to you, and welcome to the repair to our community. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the experience that you have from the last quarter. Let's go back into that to the data. We are looking at subsidies
Alright, whilst we're still looking, I think let me give you an opportunity. Somebody from National Treasury or something to play.
You can't hear one.
Oh, you can't hear. You will hear. You will hear. He's still looking.
Okay.
Adding his number. We also are still waiting for the hard copies from the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
That's manufacturing there. Somewhere. And as I was saying then, I said, I think let's have the figures for... Let me just repeat, it's going to be the Eastern Cape, Free State, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Western Cape, that's right. Eastern Cape, whilst we are still looking at some of the things, of the information, where are we now in respect of Section 100? What's going on in the province? Is there something that seems to be coming up?
I would say we are in the process of implementing the capital allocation, but for now there has been a concrete engagement. The National Department has made a presentation in the last with the provincial cabinet about the intervention, and currently the department, the level of the Ministry of the Minister and the HOT and DG, there is a discussion of the team coming down and presenting the framework for the intervention. We have not engaged very completely.
Okay, that's the Eastern Cape. Right. Do you have any issues to raise with the same case, etc. I think that's the big issue. There's been no movement. And so clearly the Eastern Cape is not yet ready. And here the presentation has been made to cabinet. Now, I think already Dav raised some suspicions about the readiness to roll out. But clearly there's also no plan, I'm sure. That presentation is made in some kind of okay, just correct me.
Yes. The presentation has been made in the Building Council last week.
Okay.
I think it's a process from the Building Council. I also understand that the Minister of the Monitoring Assembly, that will be the summit of the Minister Council to vote on the operational reason of that national election from last the Building Council of Council.
Okay. Dom Kanik.
No, just a comment. See, it's like we are having a patient that is brought into a surgery, an operating surgery, on a stretcher, but then it's taken from the stretcher into an operating table. Suddenly, there's no decision what how to operate and when to operate. Obviously, the doctors are still looking at their manuals, how to proceed with this kind of an open illness. So the patient might die there. Well, it's a very serious matter. And bearing into mind that it's not a new event, or rather, a new intervention with Section 100 in that province.
Okay. Alright. We'll come back to that question. I think in view of the amount we have just mentioned, the 1.2 billion, I think it must be clear that is not in a position to see a way of going now. That must be clear. So there's so much to do to check across the whole country. But if those implications are clear, now, I think to me it would be better. And maybe then what am I going to do is also to check the national department. Just call the national department, because now they are also involved here. But what Mr. Mukani is raising and what we are raising as colleagues is critical. Clearly, housing delivery has stalled in the city until all of these things are taking place. Now, whilst the CEO of the NHBR has been still working on the data, are you ready? Okay, then just before that, Mr. Fukundi.
Yes, no, thanks, Mr. Fukundi. I think one issue you were with us at the same meeting last week. That came up recently was the availability of non-financial information. That I think, moving forward, has to assist even the national department in allocating the housing. Because, I don't know how then funds are allocated to the province when the province has not really demonstrated capacity, of spending that money. And I'm happy that you are coming up with the issue of also meeting with the national department, that we look also in those areas in terms of the processes which are followed in making funds available to a specific province. Because then, if the province is able to give information to say we have planned to build so many houses, the department knows how much to allocate the trust, and maybe we must start to take it from there. But really, just to sum up figures and give them to a province, I think a lot of provinces will end up in that intensive training that you are talking about.
Okay. One of the things you are raising about this contract is something we ourselves should pick up in this same case. I think 2 or 3 weeks ago we were in one village in this village. Now, we were a big team. And so, listening to the community talking about their own needs, that listed a whole range of things, schools, this and that, and houses. Now, I had to ask a question to them. I mean, they've got wonderfully built Rhonda Bell. Beautiful, good quality. Each household has about 5 or 6 of the Rhonda. And a huge four-room, I mean, 4 or 5 or 6 room house. Huge, same household. The question is, what do you want to replace these houses that you have for an RDC house? They said, no, we are just trying to be fussy because everybody seems to be getting this RDC house. Okay? So, this is some fucking thing you're raising. Now, I'm raising this because that province is forever involved in something called rural housing strategy. How do you deal with those things when people really don't need those things? They would need other things except housing. Okay? They would need irrigation pipes, they would need roads, they would need clinics, they would need schools, they would need sanitation, water, and all of this, not housing. But because they say, no, we are also citizens of the country. We see that everybody is getting a house. And so, why is it that we are not also given housing? So then, as we then look at dealing with issues of allocation, you are right, how do we deal with those? Is it a huge sum that 1.2 billion now? How is it directed in that province? How do you then address the rural part in the same province? So it's a critical matter that you are ready raising. But then, if the NHBRC is ready now, let me allow them to speak. But just on this in case. Yeah. We will come back to the other. Project and home enrollment. Can you raise your voice, Baba?
Okay, project and home enrollment. We have got project and outstanding project. And the NHBRC, when we do project enrollment, we evaluate and analyze the test report. We evaluate.
Can you turn that both chairs? I'm not able to see you. They don't want to see you.
What did I just say? The test, the number.
None of the background you're giving is correct.
Okay. Initially, what you do is you used to have in principle enrollment, home enrollment, and project enrollment. We have done now with in principle enrollment, we only have project and home enrollment. When we do project enrollment, we evaluate and analyze the geotech report and the proposed foundation design permissions. We also check stormwater, control, retaining embankment, evaluate the capacity and capability for developers, applying for registration, establishment of appropriate levels of technical specifications and construction guidelines, and it's also capacity section. For Eastern Cape, the number of projects received for the third quarter was 5. And the number of projects approved was 4. And the number of projects outstanding was 1. In home enrollment, we received 11 projects, 11 for incentive, approved 1, and outstanding was 4. Those are the figures for incentive.
That tells you the story. Now, if you're looking at the Eastern Cape submission, they've got 3 PHP projects, 100 units in rural area. Coming back to this issue of this is the inner business plan towards the Yeah, the second last thing. Three PhD projects with 1,000 units in rural areas. Now, I mean, I don't want to talk practical issues. I don't want to ask the practical issues that worry me in respect of rural housing in the Eastern Cape. I'm raising this in view of what I was telling you earlier. People just want to be fussy, they want to be given houses just for the sake of it. But ordinarily, clearly, they are going to use those things as some shed, something to store in. Their own equipment, essentially. It's not going to be used for this thing, accommodation. I'm just saying, these are some of the interesting things then that are going on in that process. Now, that's then the Eastern Cape. Now, let's just go very fast. I mean, they say something here about yourself. The NHBRC, I don't know the page, because the pages are not numbered. It says NHBRC slow start on the rectification program. All right. Inability, when you go down, key factors which affected expenditure, practical realities on the ground. The inability of bidders to produce NHBRC certificates. The key factors which affected expenditure for this case. Firstly, your slow uptake. Abana Ikopia is not thinking of urban NHBRC. They've got to have a copy so that they really. Then, while CTO is just going through the report, let's go to the. I'm not sure whether they are in the Northern Cape. I'm not sure whether they are sick. They have some form of sickness themselves. And that sickness, they are there of the Northern Cape, is greediness. Well, they said to us they needed more money. As the input says, they were given 100 million rand. Okay, I'm coming to you soon. They were given 100 million rand. Now, because we are suspicious ourselves as a community and curious, we went to that province. And when we were in the province, we just decided to touch base with them and just check whether there were no risk of absorbing 100 million in a short space of time. Gave us a report that no, we have finished 100 million. Funny stuff. And in fact, they went further to say it was inadequate. Of course, the second natural question is, how many houses have you built? And where are the houses? Then the truth came out. And then said, no, we did not build houses. We had transferred to accredited district municipalities. Now that answer was wrong. Because in the first place, district municipalities do not serve as housing developer. And so we wanted to know which districts were those. Gave us a stone. Unfortunately, in our meeting, the only municipality targeted for accreditation was present. La Solplat. And we had to raise the question to Solplat whether they had received any money from this for houses. Like he said, no. We then said, well, there's something wrong. Let's get the allocation letter. Now, when the allocation letter, in fact, it took about 4 hours to do. The acting HOD was phoning in my meeting and saying, this thing is going to be brought to us in the next 5 minutes. But it took 4 hours to be brought produced. And when it was produced, it showed that Saul Blighty was given 11 million. But not for houses. They were just given 11 million for some form of infrastructure. I'm not clear why. Now, again, it's funny. Because this is a housing department. It must give you housing money. And by the way, the 100 million was from a housing allocation. And therefore, it can't be given for any other form of infrastructure. And we had then to take a decision as a committee and write a letter to the Minister of Finance to investigate this thing and give us a comprehensive report. Because one, you do not, as a department, ask for more funding. This is dedicated funding, conditional. You do not ask for that money and say you are going to build houses. And when you've received it, you dump it to municipalities. Our understanding was that they were going to use the money as a department themselves, instead of calling it to municipalities which did not even have the capacity to build houses. Number two, municipalities which were not accredited, were not even in the list of being accredited. Something that's the illness of the Northern Sea. But before we go there, let me allow the CEO of NGFC just to talk to us to some issues that he picked up, and then we come to the Northern Sea.
Thank you, Chair President. Thank you, honorable members of the committee. I think I'll just not take too much of your time. I'll be direct into the issues that I have said about the NHGRC. Key factors which affect expenditures of the NHGRC flows back on the rectification process. I think this needs to be explained what it really means. Rectification programs is where the NHGRC goes back. Generate a report for the province, or municipality, or agency of the province to undertake it. Now, if they say slow start, I'm not quite sure what that would really mean to us. Because what we have generated is what they have to go and rectify. They can't rectify before they get the report. So I think that needs to be explained. Inability of bidders to produce NHGRC. If they're saying inability, I'm trying to interpret Chairperson, inability of bidders to produce NHGRC certificates. In our strategic corporate plan, it takes 7 days to become a registered NHGRC member. Now, if they're saying the people that have bidded for work were not registered with the NHGRC, then they should not be appointed. Now, what does it take to be an NHGRC member? You become a company or you come as an individual. You show skills that you are a player in the drilling industry. You show certificate that you are qualified to do construction. We call it technical ability. You do a test or you do an interview. Secondly, you confirm to us that you have the finances to carry the project. If it's a non-subsidy. In the subsidy sector, you code as the work that you've done here. And lastly, we look at the members of the close corporation or members of the company. We check if they are honest citizens. They are not heavy debt that they've not serviced. In cases where they've got debt that they've not serviced and the debts are major, we give them what we call provisional certificate. We give them either one house, two houses or three houses, depending on their financial ability to build. And we say to them, we'll not renew their contract until they service. We'll not renew their membership until they service their debt. Because that's what starts a certain way to take. Now, if they're saying the inability of leaders, my interpretation, Chairperson, with respect with me, probably what we found on site was that the bidders or the people they employed were not registered with the NHGRC. And then we disqualify them because they are contravening the law and they are a provincial language province. And the law says anybody that the province, the municipality, the agency of the province or municipality employs must be a registered landowner. So I'm not sure if those leaders will tell us what is it that they lack. Because we do not approve each and every person that applies. There are set standards in the regulation. If you are not qualified, you will not be allowed to do the job. In order to protect the quality of the product and also to protect our warranty scheme. So that's how I'll interpret this.
Okay,
sir.
Ethan Gates, can you clarify what you mean by MHBRC slow start on the registration program?
Okay, so that's nice. With the Ramada Project Management Minister, we will respond on this.
Respond at this.
What is this MHBRC? Beyond assessment of the institution, we are implementing the assistance to the society, the 9,500. And you are done towards the end of the hoping that before the end of the session, we will use that. We're talking about the success, we're talking about the education of the people. Then we implement the agent of the chapter 19.
As I think these are our misunderstanding our role. We are a regulator. We protect housing consumers. We do not build housing. In the housing department, the agency that deals with actual construction would be to the issue. So maybe there is a misunderstanding of our role. How do we rectify in the non-subsidy sector? If where a contractor fails, the housing consumer is complaining, we will appoint another contractor to rectify. In the subsidy of BNG housing, in the province, in the municipality, in the agency appointed by the municipality or the province or a national department that we then say, go and rectify. When they rectify, we go on site and monitor that the rectification is appropriate. That would be our role. Maybe there is a schedule in terms of understanding our role.
I'm not sure if because we have about 12 projects that MHBRC and region are going to contract us. They are on site, so other units are already under construction. So it's a project that is running under construction.
Right. Can we have a list of all those projects? You know what we want to do? We want to verify with MHBRC. Can we get all of those things in writing? So that let MHBRC look at those and then come back to us and confirm or not. Okay. Right. That's what we shall do. Norka.
Mr. President, I'm wanting to apologize on behalf of what my acting HOD mentioned at the meeting with the NCLT in the Northern Cape. I'm going to do my presentation.
No, you're not going to speak to this presentation.
Oh, okay.
What you will do is to respond to the issues I was raising. I've seen the presentation already. But just talk to the issues I was raising.
Okay. Chairperson, I know I feel terrible to say this. I haven't dumped money to municipalities. And I'm going to emphasize this. There's money to be allocated to projects that we're ready to run. Yes, the projects are within the municipal area of jurisdiction. In the Northern Cape, yes, we do utilize municipalities as developers and contractors, as the
Before you proceed, which municipalities are those? We want to write down now.
Now, there's a list of projects in
which municipalities are used as developers? That's the first question.
Kolplaatje.
Right.
But they...
Don't rush. Kolplaatje.
Dikatlong.
Dikatlong.
Makaring.
Is that a list?
Yes. It's attached to
that. Okay, that's fine. If the list is here, fine. We will have to go back to those municipalities. Okay, proceed then.
And the business plans are received from municipalities based on the readiness of the project. And we enter into a service level agreement between the municipality and ourselves and the contractor in some cases, or the developer, the person that is on site doing the infrastructure. So there's a service level agreement between the three parties. And in some cases, we do put the money, take municipalities in, the funding directly on progress. And in some cases, we pay the contractor directly. Rather than paying it to the municipality, we pay the contractor directly based on progress of work done. So that's how the payments are made. And when you look at housing units, Chairperson, I know housing function is good housing. We also put in internal infrastructure, which is part of housing. It comes the internal infrastructure and then the top structure. The municipality funds the mix out of the the bulk infrastructure out of the mix funding. And Chairperson, the payment was not made to a accredited municipality as outlined in the foundation email. We have to date no accredited municipality for
just that. That's there. But then are these municipalities that you use that are on the list here accredited?
No, Chairperson.
Why are you then using them when they are not accredited?
Chairperson, I've got the list. I say the housing code makes provision for municipalities, that's a national policy, to either be developed. And they don't directly do the construction in most cases. They appoint service providers that are registered with the CIDB and the MHVRC. And most of the time, these smaller municipalities, they appoint SMMEs, you know, local contractors. Some of them procure the materials and appoint the SMMEs and utilize them, but the SMMEs must be registered with the MHVRC. And the uniqueness of the Northern Cape, Chairperson, the vastness of the Northern Cape, and if you look at our housing structure in the Northern Cape, I mean, I always say, argue the point, if I build 10 houses in the Northern Cape, and if I build 100 houses in the Eastern Cape, it's the same amount of people I need. I still need an engineer, I still need an architect, I still need a building inspector, and so on. So our structure in the Northern Cape is very, very small. And it was agreed that municipalities will be utilized.
Who agreed on this? Who agreed? Who agreed before? Who agreed before
yet? Chairperson, it's the province agreed.
Is it in writing?
No,
Chairperson. Why are you using an argument that's there? Do you know the serious matter? We do want to have a copy of the document. Because what we will be doing ourselves is to go to this municipality. We want to talk to this municipality. We've already spoken to Sol Plagi that had expressed his own displeasure at the way you are doing things yourself. And now I'm surprised when you are saying that you've got service level. In fact, what they were saying to us is that you just do things without consulting them. See, you know what it's for. And our worry is the same, all the things that you are saying is fine. We see all the list that is provided here. We will be following up. NHVRC, let's talk about the registered and enrolled projects in this province. Nothing here. What the CEO is looking at that?
Yes, I'm interested to check whether the frequency of appointing this consultant is, you know, taking all, how do they determine the data of those who are
interested? Do you have an answer to that?
When they apply, when they bid for a project, the NHVRC certificate and the CIDB certificate must be attached to the certificate.
I'm not convinced, but we'll come back to that in your own province. You're still looking for some information. Khalid, this is not in case.
Yeah.
You remember the story about material that was sitting there for 3 years?
Yeah.
You remember the story about an investigation commissioned by the Premier? Those are the stories we got in that province. And only to be told, can you believe it, that there is no such report 2-3 weeks ago, and that project has started running. that's the Northern Cape for overseas.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. As far as Rome enrollment, Northern Cape has got nothing up to the last quarter. What is Rome enrollment? Rome enrollment means the units that are built are not under the warranty. So NHGRC will not be able to provide anything.
Yeah, but this is Congress is exactly what you just said of the certificate NHGRC, that's a big one. But that's not in case. It's a matter that we've got to follow up. No, you can't. You have an opportunity. You said things about the NHGRC. They have responded. They don't know this thing.
The registration of the contractors is different to the whole home enrollment. In the NHGRC, we did not have a provincial NHGRC manager.
There is.
And he was just
Let me tell you. He is in Bloemfontein. He is servicing the Northern Cape and the Free State, not so. Because we met him. Ourselves, we met him. So please, that's the Northern Cape now. Right. This is becoming interesting. It's a good thing, Cape. And this is why we really wanted this to say. We are sitting here with kind of sometimes they pointing at it. Mbumalanga. Again, you will not make an import in Mbumalanga. Because I thought that the way we're doing it today. Because you have serious problems of being in the ICU. It's a pity you're not staying in a certain place. In terms of the input made by you see, the first problem with your term, Bumanda, is you have committed money to acquisition of property. You know, there's a difficult one here. I'm not sure whether it resides with your own competence or whether it has to do with finishing money given to you. I see. Firstly, there are issues of goods and services, page 4. We have met within the municipalities, by the way. We will verify this information. You see, there are issues of Ligwa and government. And so on. Then there is the commitment to acquisition of property. I think that must be explained. What do you mean by the you have committed to acquire property? What property are we talking about here? Now, here is a funny one. H5. 31 million capital assets. Commitment towards the construction of the Delmas municipality water filtration. We know the problems of the water in Mpumalanga. Now, we're not sure why you're supposed to be dealing with this at housing. And then there are issues of civil works, 27 million, electoral works, 3, and so on. We still have a problem of the organogram. Because there's funding challenges. Catches of land. What's this about? What land are we talking about? We did receive a report last year. where in some of the municipalities you were buying flats, you were buying land, very expensive land for that. One of the pieces of land that was bought at the time in that report was a piece of land for 36 million rand by Mpumalanga. When intensifying the use of the NHGRC for quality control, are you not using the NHGRC? Voila. Can you respond to those issues?
Honorable Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. Honorable members and colleagues from the province. Chair, perhaps if it is property interest with the key, if you can give me that opportunity to say that, Chair. This is an apology from the NEC. A written apology was provided to the Secretary of this committee. The MEC is part of the delegation that has gone to the Egypt, which also includes the Honorable King and the Public. And therefore, he has delegated us to come through here to place a comment on the issues that we are raising. Chairperson, my name is Kuran Tamini. I'm the acting HOD currently for the Department of Housing. To my far right here is Ubab Sembubani is the acting HOD for the Department of Local Government. I'll explain why this acting is happening. Next to me here is Umam Tapilo is the Chief Director in charge of the housing. And then on the left, the other colleagues that were with here, Ubab Francis Strauss is the chief, acting chief director currently.
You don't know why you have problems acting in those
things.
I'll
explain that.
Hang on, oh, this is why you've got problems. You've got film stars all the way. You have actors all the way, there's no certainty. I think it's a big problem. I'm raising this because it must be a message to your own enemies to do something about it. It's part of issues of planning and setting procedures.
I'll further explain the chair, the acting chair. Strauss is somebody important, the director in charge of municipal finance in the department. Next to Strauss on the far left level is Amali Rashid. Amali Raski is the CEO in charge of one of the flagship projects in the province, the Water for All, which is the flagship that is looking at the issues of the provision of water in the province. Ubab Ngubane is permanent post with the chief director in charge of local government. Let me explain the acting chair. You are aware that the executive council took a decision to restructure the previous Department of Local Government and Housing. And subsequent to that, that decision was endorsed by the President. And there was a proclamation that was done early in April, beginning of this financial year, whereby the previous Department of Local Government and Housing has since been taking approval, where therefore it necessitated that you have two different accounting officers for the people. Hence the current acting position. But the post has since been advertised and will soon be appointing permanent accounting officers. Chair. Chair, the brief that we got on when we looked at the invite.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
It came from me. I've isolated some issues that
you might. All right. Okay. Let me come to the issue of commitment of the acquisition of properties that we are talking to on our presentation here. Second, we were allocated 636 million as it has been presented today. The 676 million was a result of the adjustment appropriation. The initial allocation on the housing. I'm talking about the housing fund chair, was the 526 million. The 150 million that was allocated to the department in the Department of Education. Specifically, the funding that was earmarked for the acquisition of land. Let me talk to that as Chair, because what has been found to be a serious constraint in terms of rolling out the new policy of housing to the basic new ground where the person is developed integrated human sector has been the issue of not having sufficient land where you can roll out the strategy in the province. And therefore, we decided that the province that we need to allocate this money towards the acquisition of pieces of land throughout the province where we had assessed the need. These are areas of high economic growth. These are the CBD areas where we want to deal also with the issue of de-regionalizing this town, where we bring people closer to the CBD. Chairperson, on the presentation here, we don't have the list of those properties, but that is information that can be provided to yourself. Hence, therefore, the 150 million that was allocated during the government association was specifically to be utilized to acquire these properties. Here we had identified these properties and the amount that we were able to utilize during the financial year was we were only left with the 24 million meters of spending there, which is indicated there as the understanding. Basically, this 24 million was our plan was to acquire a property within the Ganada District Municipality, as we could suggest, Morocco Municipality, which is not surprised there. We had some complications with the property in terms of ownership. We had some kind of difficulty, hence, therefore, we halted that process. Hence, we couldn't spend that money before the end of the financial year. But we are proceeding with the acquisition of that property. Indeed, the other property that we have identified were acquired within the financial year. So that explains the understanding on the adjusted allocation on the commissioner card, which is the 24 million share. We didn't go into depth on the presentation chair by indication how
come back to the commitments for several projects to complete in 2019.
Very good, sir.
Okay.
The commitment to the project that you have indicated today. These are commitments towards the Delma community. You'll be aware, sir, that we had some diarrhea outbreaks.
I'm talking page four.
Because what we're doing on this report, we're reporting on all our our spends.
What are these specific things here?
These specific things, the chair, we're assisting. We received a request from Mr. Wajiba to assist him with the fencing of the land inside. The land inside of Mr. Wajiba, which we're financially supporting them with the construction of the fence around that land inside. This project, unfortunately, did not be completed before the end of the financial year due to material supply problems from the contractor that we were appointed on the project. There was a shortage of steel in the industry. The calcite fencing was short, hence that project could not be finalized. We're also assisting Lipa Municipality and Hope Municipality with capacity assessment. We had appointed a service provider to perform, to do capacity assessment. Ubab Mubane is the charge of the local government. We'll talk better on the issue chair. These are the 1778 capacity assessment that we performed at this particular municipality. And if you are aware, chair, that we're also busy with the issue of the reconstitution of traditional councils. This was the whole election process of the 40% of the traditional council. We have several challenges with that process. Our intention was that when we planned was that we will have the elections by December. And unfortunately, there were several challenges with the whole process, ranging from issues of boundaries of the traditional council. Hence, therefore, that process overlapped into the current financial year. But Mugwane can talk on the caucus because that was not
Mugwane is going to give a quick breakdown of this month. Not now.
Okay.
In writing. All of you. Item by item. Okay?
Okay.
Number two. If it is about, you see, if thinking I am that you have reflected it here, we talk about money ourselves. We leave no stone unturned. Now, then he will have to come back to this compensation of employees. What is interesting here is that there ought to have been some savings here on the compensation of employees. Especially because you say you had implemented the work, no work, no pay. And so maybe there must be some savings. Then you also have some internal promotion and the restructuring of the department. What is critical here? The breakdown here again. Let's see what was the saving on the basis of no work, no pay. But number two, what is it that how much is used on the internal promotion and the restructuring of the department? That we will ask for in writing. And then, you see, Lena is a bit misleading, it's a bit general, but it's fine. We will find a way of tracing this one, in Delma. You can go back then to Yablanda, whatever, by the end. Yeah, proceed.
Okay, she said there was another first area that she had asked regarding the use of the NSDRC. Jefferson, you mentioned that we have a problem with our currency using the NSDRC. Right from the...
On page 6, yeah. Second last currency intervention.
Yeah. We have still signed up an agreement with the NHBRC chair. Our projects are enrolled with the NHBRC. There are two levels of enrollment, where you enroll the whole project and where you do the house enrollment. We had some challenges with the house enrollment. We have since engaged the NHBRC in terms of how can we basically construct that. In the process of doing the geotech investigation for the house enrollment was taking quite longer than anticipated due to the fact that we're doing soil tests for each one of the house of the stand where these houses are going to be built. But we've since agreed that the NSDRC will do some kind of sampling on those areas so that we can protect the purpose of the geotech investigation. We have signed up a certain level of women care so that NSDRC can also do inspections for us. They are also doing inspections currently on all the projects that we have going on. So I must say, Chair, our relationship with NSDRC in the public is quite good. It has since increased drastically. Our intention is to also get them to also specify the payment. So that is what we have agreed upon with the provincial manager. That indeed they will perform the inspection and also specify the payment in terms of level of completion of each one of the houses that are being built on the project that are involved with NSDRC. So generally, our relationship with NSDRC in the project, I think it is not current at the level that we would like it to be, but it's a good relationship. So.
And is the RRC? People are talking about this.
The numbers from different provinces.
I think the intervention that we're talking about is intensification. I think we have been instructed in terms of many to visit all the provinces, talk to all the provinces, and request all provinces to agree with us that we're going to collapse two levels. Instead, it is no longer necessary. Does not met other. Eastern Cape has been a problematic problem. So I have not met the people for this. But what
have you met
Mpumalanga? They are engaged at the provincial level, but I see that interact with the NEC myself. Our idea is they must submit projects like the non-substitute. Why are we insisting they must go the same route as the non-substitute? In the non-substitute sector, we are able to enroll units in 4 hours. Now, what we are requesting provinces to do is to comply with the government DSSA 1 and 2. When projects are given to us, they must have a complete geotechnical report that has been done. I think that's what Mpumalanga is explaining. We are aware that in three states, their left are full on geotechnical assessment. And we have discussed the problem. It's an unfortunate situation, but it's something that I think can help in future. But they have that backlog with regard to geotechnical assessment of different units. The reason we want geotechnical support is because some of the failures on the highway share mainly due to bad engineering. Now, in terms of the future, like that, the intensification of our involvement will be good and the collapsing of the system could have. But I think in general, I would say provinces that have rural components, major rural components of not being cunning for employment. Historically, it was said that the urban area, but since the new minister, the current incumbent came, he said if they meet all the requirements in terms of government requirements, GFS 81 and 2, those properties must be evolved there. And the argument has been, LNG is good for urban employment. And this is what they've done, and they're building projects on that project. So as far as Mpumalanga is concerned, there are two projects that we have approved. There is one project that's not approved. Like as indicated, they've said that they'll be submitting to us now 10 by 10 geotechnical assessment. Once we get that information, then we will call them.
Okay. Comment? Question?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, perhaps you want to kick off with the last comment by the NHPRC. Maybe I'm now venturing in another setting. A purely technical one. Is it possible to have a geotechnical report of each individual state? As I understand it, and I'm saying I'm not the commission, is that there are usually samples taken at this various soil formations of a site of the land. Now, if you were sort of taking each and every stem, assessing each and every thing, I'm wondering where, say now you have 500, 1,000 or so things, where will you end up in terms of project implementation? Unless, of course, you have a very suspect piece of land in terms of how to do it. I'm taking just the practical, the practicability of that. But here, in the presentation of my post, among the challenges, it is said that this is block number 3, poor on page 5, poor quality of housing, especially on old projects. Now, Chair, I think one has it on record that my province decided not to engage in the rectification program. Now, here is poor houses on old schemes. What is then the program to deal with this? And here, when I say poor quality, the definition here is conservative. I'm saying we know of quality of housing that are totally unacceptable and dangerous for human habitation. What is then the program to deal with this? Because it is documented here, it is recognized as a problem. And there is no rectification problem in the province, unless I'm wrong. They decided not to embark on it. Unless things have changed. What is then the program to deal with this? With this serious. Could we also have some clarity on the acquisition of property that is referred here by my colleague at the other level, the Syrian family? Chair, I'll stop here for now. Thanks.
And of course, how much is committed then in respect of and where are these properties? What town, what municipalities, what area? The last time we talked to them, there was something from Hazy View. The one I was talking about, which is 36 million. It was Hazy View. There's a place called Hazy View in Mpumalanga. Right? Yes. No other question, no other comment? Then you also have shortages within the housing technical directorate. What are you doing about that? Now, there is. I don't understand this one. You've got your own colleague here, local government. And of course, you were one department at the time. I mean, the issues of non-availability of land could be sought from local government, and you raise it as a challenge here. I'm just curious there. And then, slow delivery of houses due to capacity problems of construction. What are you doing about this one? And therefore, what is the risk here? Continuous understanding. Okay. You can respond. By the way, this colleague is from Bumala. Even yesterday, he was this very weekend last weekend, he was in Bumala. So as you are saying that, you must also be able to verify what you are saying. That is, truly some sergeant that's very for the sake of taking it officially, because he's got to go back and verify. Proceed.
So saying we do have the rectification program. Chairperson, in the previous year, what we have done, we have appointed the service provider to the assessment on some of these houses that were quality. And if you were to look at our plan for the next year, we have actually budgeted that we're going to rectify about 1,900 of those units. So we do have the program. We will be rolling it out in this financial year. The issue of the acquisition of property, as I've mentioned before, in terms of what was the the issue that we're looking at. If properties are within the NERSPRIT area, of course, properties in NERSPRIT, of course, properties in White River.
Second one, are these properties earmarked for low-cost housing?
It will be a mixed settlement. We're looking at rolling out the BNT strategy, where we have got your upper middle and lower class.
So you're talking rental stock?
The will for rental stock is there. We're currently busy with the whole planning of the office, but it will be a mixed strategy. So there are at least economic growth areas within the province. For properties in White River, which is in the state, properties in Nelspay, you've got properties at Secunda, you've got properties at Pictures, Mississippi. So those are considered the high economic growth areas within the province, where we need to roll out the things. We can for.
What about low cost? What's the plan? You seem to be focusing on this thing. And I thought your core mandate in the main low cost housing.
Yeah, as I mentioned, okay, it would be mixed.
Okay.
It would be mixed. You'll have low cost, you have mixed.
In the same area.
In the same area. So our intention is to de-racialize the town and bring in people that are currently not staying within the CBD area closer to their places of work. So you're going to find local houses within this area. We can provide a list of the properties that are with the other inputs from can do that. The issue of the shortage of staff in our technical unit in the housing department, this is an area that has what is called to have sufficient capacity in terms of project management and issues of inspection. Project management capacity and issues of inspection. The restructuring of the department has been basically focused on the community. Because in the new structure that has since been approved by the National Minister of CPSA, we have tried to incorporate posts that will enable us to do proper inspections on time. And what we are doing is we're decentralizing so that we have inspections in all the districts and individual municipalities across the whole province. So that will therefore enable us to have the sufficient capacity to do project management and also inspection capacity of our project. The issue of the capacity of contractors, we have in the past do some kind of an assessment of the contractors that we have appointed. If you were to look at our expenditure each month, you will notice that it was after September that our expenditure kicked up. What we did was to do some kind of an assessment of the contractors that we had appointed, and we basically cancelled those contractors that are not performing as per their contract or as per their agreement with us. And then we terminate them and we appoint capacity contractors where we follow the open bidding process and we do all the evaluation of those bids as they come in terms of capacity of those contractors, financial capacity, and the expertise that those service providers have to pull off those jobs that we allocate. So through the bidding process here, we are able to appoint capacity contractors to deliver our service. Thanks, Captain. I think that's all the questions.
Now, can you explain the issue? The quarterly expenditures. First quarter was 15, second quarter 22, third 24, fourth 39. What happened here?
Yeah. But the main point is look at the significant escalation in the fourth quarter chair. That was the quarter where we acquired the property. That's the quarter where we spent about $85 million in the acquisition of the land, identifying pieces of land that we wanted to acquire. So it was in the fourth quarter that we acquired that.
The problem of what you say is that you're wasting much, not too much money buying property. That's what you just said. Because in the last quarter you were able to get properties and therefore you paid. It's not about building this house. I think this is the biggest problem. And I think it's something that National Treasury must be looked into. Issue of buying property instead of providing houses. Look, this is spending. This is money spent. I suspect it's spent wrongly. That's my own judgment. It's spent. But it has to do with people who want to appear to be spending when in fact they are not. But now, who are you using as developers, housing developers? I think that's the most critical question. Who are you using as developers?
Everything we are appointing contractors, not contractors, that are building our house. We also...
Who is responsible for appointing them?
The department.
Municipalities or your department?
The department that we follow our open business, our supply chain management processes within the department.
Chair, just a follow up on the rectification program. I know, Chair, the presentation didn't address this issue at all, this presentation. So we'd like to have some specific. Where are these rectification programs? At what stage are they now?
Correct.
It could be one of the issues that they've got to respond to in that issue. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether these are features of BNG.
Yes.
If BNG is bringing these features, then it's a bit problematic. I might say people must just buy property and so on and so on. I mean, let's also just go back a step and then have a look at BNG. And I think we'll have to take it from there. Right. That's Mpumalanga. The only free province is also Eel. The only free province is also in the ICU. 100 million rand was taken away at the end of the financial year. They are spending 85%. What's going on? What are you working on to correct this problem? You see, part of the problem is that I suspect you are a candidate for Section 100 myself, and I'm not sure why not.
not original, section 100 in a department or in a province.
Which one?
The section 100.
No,
in a province.
Within the province or in the department.
In this particular department, not in the province. You see, part of the problem here is that this feature has been like this for some time, and then for us. Questions of financial misconduct creep in this time. I mean, why are people still HODs, for instance, in the context of this continuous underperformance? Why are people still HODs? Why are people still managers in terms of these units and divisions? In the context of this underperformance. And so, section 100, therefore, for us, Mr. Pokunzi, would be in respect of that, of that department.
And
this is why we say we are worried about consistency. Because the national department was able to get into the Eastern Cape. I'm not sure what the motivations were. Here we are in the Free State. This thing has been. And then last year, when the HOD was before us, we had raised something strongly with him. He tried to fight us, and we prevailed. And we had to rope in the Auditor General. Okay? So, madam, talk to us, the ICU. Are you, madam here from the NHDRC was saying we have hope. Is there hope that you'll be out of the ICU? What is it that you are doing to deal with this matter? I suspect because you're in the ICU, there's nothing you can do, except if somebody can come in and assist you. Talk to us, madam.
He
phoned me, your HOD, yesterday. I do sympathize with him. In fact, I really understand this. You know what he said to me? He said the municipalities are burning. Again, it's our area of responsibility. It has to do because the department is local government and housing. So the HOD must be dealing with the burning municipalities. I then had to allow him, therefore, not to come. Because we don't want to see falling and burning municipalities. He phoned me about their policies. What is it, because this is your team.
Yeah, but for myself, I'm the CFO in the department. I'm with the JC at the end, the chief director in housing rent for responsible for planning.
Planning.
And I'm with Mr. Mofisien, also from the office of the HOD.
What is the point of view?
To assist the HOD with the management of the office.
Wow.
Okay.
Are you doing it well, Baba? I hope so. What is going on?
So, Professor, maybe then I will then have to go straight to your question to say we are in the ICU.
Don't go to the input that we have. You are in the ICU. Let's talk about what's being done about that.
Yes, if you go to page 5, I believe, of the page 5 of the presentation.
New approach.
The new approach, yes. What is this person to come with the new approach? We went back and say, what is that we are not doing right as a department, or what is that the teachers and the ICU say? And we did the analysis, and the analysis then prompted us to come up with this, with the new approach that we're going to present. Number one, we say we have established an integrated planning and implementation committee made up of all the relevant role players. The one thing that we found a person is planning was a bit of a problem in the department to an extent it led to the huge understanding last year whereby not all the relevant role players were playing their part or taking their part in the planning stage. And as a result, we then decided we're going to have this committee. And the committee has been established with that environment. And then we have in the financial year, the 2008 and 2009, the department has ensured that the following activities are done by the department as opposed to delegating them to the third party. The first one is entering into land availability agreement with I think the person in the previous meetings that of the previous engagements that we had with it, we mentioned the issue that one of our problems of the service delivery challenge is land availability. And at that stage, we were solely depending on the municipality to acquire the land on our behalf. Now, what we have done is when we allocate housing units to municipalities, we then enter into an agreement with them, a service level agreement, to ensure that indeed we're going to have the land rather than just having a verbal agreement to say yes, they will make the land available. And at the end of the day, after the allocation, then when the contractors are supposed to start building, then we don't have the land where we can build houses. And the second one is appointing service providers to do geotechnical assessment reports on each project. I think the CEO from NHDRC has mentioned that we do have a backlog in terms of the geotech. And paying building land and municipalities direct to municipalities. This part it was done by the contractor. So all what we are saying is we then have to change our approach to say to first party certain things, let's do them ourselves and not depend on the first party. Procuring land parcels for future housing development. I think when you look at our presentation, we have even mentioned that we paid 17 million for buying the land in the last financial year. So it was part of the start to say, to an extent, we must also ensure that we are buying land ourselves and rather after buying that land and giving them to the municipalities rather than waiting for them to buy that land. And then we are saying, we've got 71 housing projects currently spread all over the province to expect to build 3,500 units. That's the units that we are planning to build in the current financial year. And already we have signed a land availability agreement with municipalities for 68 projects of the 71. So that shows progress to say at least we are not holding our arms. We have already started to do it. We have already started to do something. The other approach that we're going to implement is the policy on IRDP integrated residential program, which is that of the delinking of beneficiaries from the site. I think the issue about the beneficiaries, we've been talking about it for several times or throughout the year. Last year we've been saying part of our problem is beneficiaries that are supposed to come from municipalities that we are not getting. So in terms of the new policy on the integrated residential program, you are allowed to build houses as long as you've got sites and everything. You can build a house, then you can build beneficiaries outside it. But that does not necessarily mean capacity, we're just going to be tenants and build a lot of houses where we, even if we know we don't have beneficiaries and we have houses that stay for a year or two without putting people in those houses. But that's the policy capacity that allows them. And you say this approach is then going to increase the pace and speed of housing delivery. Let me say, Chairperson, you find in some cases you do have the land, you do have the you've got everything, you've got a contractor who's capable, but the municipality is just not bringing forward the beneficiaries to us. And let me talk to them. One other point that we didn't mention here is the fact that we have also established district services in our structure. So one of their main functions is to assist municipalities with the coordination of getting beneficiaries from house. I think if there's anything that I might have left, my colleague will add. But that's how we've seen ourselves going in the current financial year.
You're not convincing. We've got a bad policy in the first place, and I think the regulator is here. That's what we've seen with it. I'll tell you why it is problematic. In the Eastern Cape, they built about 500 units in one area called Kedi. 500 units. No consultation, no nothing. Now, Kedi is a rural place. Having built these houses, there was nobody to occupy the house. They started recruiting people to occupy. And people were reluctant. They have never occupied up to now. I'm saying that's wasteful and wasteful and I'm saying that for this policy is problematic. If this is the kind of a policy that you are going to put in place and you think of a good policy. Really is stuff horrible. The character of that policy is the worst character of any policy. But the problem here is that you are going to parachute a project if you like. You see, because what's good that we've done ourselves as a committee in passing the new Division of Revenue Act is that any project must be in line with an IDP. And so in the context of what you say, you've got to do that. Now, what happens then? What happens then? And this is why we were also saying, in fact, it's a pity we were not aware of what you are saying, because we needed to take it further. If this kind of a policy is then implemented, who must then bear the cost for building a house that's not going to be occupied? This country is facing blocked and unblocked projects and verification, all of these things. Now you are then having this funny policy. So I'm saying, I think it's a problematic area. Now, let me then allow for comments. You did speak well about the 16th. Do you have any other things to say?
No, all what we want to tell about Chairperson, all what we can remember, all what we need to say to 16th is as they move forward, they must now enroll the properties with the energy. We have met the emphasized in it. They said from this current financial year they will ensure that how it has been. All previous projects were
sure.
What we can also add regarding test pick depends on land availability. There are certain areas where you cannot rely on some, but it just is the engineer you don't take. But in some of this in most instances need them, we can give a sample, but in other areas it's not possible. So that's why we want health that each of the things will continue. With regard to integrated development, if the IDP is properly developed, it will indicate the number of residents and the need for that area. Then the process of dealing to it works. But if they operate outside the IDP or in inappropriate IDP, then the process will move. So I'm just saying it's a two-way of approach.
Okay. That's the regulator. You have not enrolled in the last 2 years. And we will not condone if anything of the same continues. Come to us if they are not needed. What then? And what is the deadline, by the way? Have you? I think let's agree now. What would be the deadline?
From 1st of April, they've committed this new financial year, they will ensure that for that, whatever they're building is going to go on. That's what the MEC and the head of department said to us.
Good.
And he said if they do not, it will be
beautiful. Miss Yes.
Differently from all other infrastructure in the sense that currently I think like now we must be discussing what is going to happen in the next financial year, you know, but now we are struggling with 2007 and 2008, and we are still going to talk about 2008 and 2009. When will we come to a situation whereby we are like able to distinguish between planning and implementation? Because if now we'll be again talking about acquisition of land 2008 and 2009, it means that this house will never be built in the current financial year. So I think moving forward, that is something that we have to look into. To say, as we implement the project now, we also top slide whatever allocation that goes to us planning, so that at least as we approach 2009 and 2010, we know this is the area that we have to focus into, and that will also assist in allocation. But now, although we're engaging in a very good process now, I mean next year or late in this financial year, we'll be sitting with the very same problems that we have currently.
Spoken and all the heavens have just opened. After spoken on planning and sport planning, and the heavens just try to open up. Okay. Comments, questions to the three problems. We're coming to you, madam. Don't worry. Yes, please. Okay. Yes, sir.
I'm not sure that.
No, we'll come back to that.
Just for the...
We're still with the 15 now. We'll come back to that. Just your own reflections on the four. The 15 questions, comments? None. All right, I'll have some myself. Madam CFO. You see, the problem that you have here, I'll raise my voice now. On page 2, and maybe this is why the picture is what it is in your province, is because they're just underspending all the way. Looking at the compensation of employees, looking at goods and services, looking at transfer payment, page 3, that's like, looking at capital payment, 42%, and the whole grand total is 79. This is reflective of what is going on there, and therefore the reason that you are in the ICU. Number 2, on page 4, you're saying you have a problem or a challenge of incorrect information of land availability. If you can just a bit, but just further clarify what that means. And then the relocation of allocated projects for municipality from ready areas to areas that are not ready. Again, what is meant here? is there no collaboration, no talking to municipalities such that you avoid this thing? I had raised some issues on the drain. I think about a year or two ago. When I said, for me, this is funny. I drive around this country, mall, shopping, huge shopping mall. There's never this kind of a complaint when these malls are built. And they always miss their target all the time. There's a huge mall when you drive out through Worcester. There are many malls that you drive through Umtata and all over the show. The element issue for me is not a big issue really. I hear what is raised here. And I'm not sure why it has to do with planning, I suspect. If you know your climate, surely therefore your planning must be such in such a way that you don't then deal during that period. Now, service delivery challenges on page 5. Are you saying, therefore, your problem with issues of contract management? Can you also clarify that? And therefore, also project management. Are you also raising that? And therefore, what are you doing about that as a department? Now, what's different from this? Between the new approach and the old approach? Is it not the same old DM Sambi in another class, maybe? Or what's really different? What's fundamentally different from the new approach to veterans? And why really did you wait for so long to have this brand new approach? Well, this matter of one of the issues that relate to this new approach is this contraction without beneficiary. You see, I was in Kleptokinator. There are many houses that are built, standing there, vandalized. This is constituent. Many houses that I'm just saying in the context of the same body, just building houses without beneficiaries, the risk of vandalism and so on and so on. How would you want to deal with those matters? So it does worry me. This part of your new approach, therefore, worries me. Building without beneficiaries. How are you going to deal with the prospective vandalizers, if you like? The floor is yours, you're all on your own. You've got a team that's going to assist you.
Yes. Could you just comment on the issue raised by our producer before our cleaning? We presented, we had a presentation last week with the committee on housing, and we presented our planning for the current financial year going forward to make that available to them.
That was premature, by the way. It must be done in June. 08-09, 09-10, 10-11. That must be done in June and even August. But it's fine. Let's have a look at that.
Okay.
The
other
thing
is that
I'm
mentioned the grant, we understand the operational budget, we understand. But I said that happened to an extent, that's why we decided to have an integrated committee. There were some problems of planning and maybe communication also was a problem, whereby the housing branch part of it and mainly the finance part of it, the two were not really talking to one another. That's why we've got a committee now. And that committee is to bring that integration together in the department. So we believe that that should be addressed in the current financial year. And the incorrect information on the availability of land is mainly from the municipalities, because at the time when we do allocations to different municipalities of land to say we're going to build houses in the following municipalities, they do to an extent indicate to us that we do have the land. But to our surprise, when the projects are supposed to start, that's when you get the shock that the land is not available. And that then contributes to the project being relocated. But Ms. Indias, we will comment on the relocation of projects. The contract and project management chairperson, I think it's our own internal problem, in the department, whereby our structure didn't really accommodate sufficient personnel in that area. But we have since reviewed our structure and that is going to be addressed in the congestion, also elaborate on that. The difference between the two approach and the current approach of the 7 and 8 approach and the new approach that we're going to embark on. Like I said, Chairperson, it's number one, we talked about the committee that is saying there were no communication, there were no integration, especially at the planning side, housing with plan that side without bringing finance into the picture. And finance plays a major role in all the aspects of an organization. And that is not there. And we also, like with our local government and housing, our local government part of it was also not really active in the planning at the planning stage in housing. So we have tried to bring the three together, or we have tried to integrate the departments now. That's what we are saying. That's just one difference. And the other one that we talked about is issues of the land, where we say we were depending on the municipalities, and now we are saying for us to ensure that we allocate where there's a land, then there needs to be an agreement. To an extent, we're going to buy the land to make sure that we bought the land and we have given the land to the municipality, that way we'll be 100% sure that there is land. And maybe Ms. Indias will also add on that. And the issue that why did we wait for so long? I think the person and the
what has happened to the agency issue? Got you. Because late last year your agency reported here that you had established an agency to deliver houses. It does not exist. Thank you for that.
What's this? That's the person you mean?
Madam, late last year, please.
December last year, so.
Come on, then.
I'm not sure that I'm.
Let me tell you the story. Early in the year, your performance was so bad. And so when we called him late in the year, he then told us the reason why there was this better performance, that you had established now a development agency that was doing housing, etc. Now, it's an interesting one that you don't even know about. But proceed. I just wanted to raise it because I thought I needed to ask you.
Now, maybe the question that I'm not aware of, Ms. Indias might want to comment on it, Chairperson.
You should know all your entities as a CFO, because you are also transferring here, and so you ought to also transfer to that development agency as well.
No, as far as I know, Chairperson, we're not transferring money to anybody. We are the developer, and we pay on the.
So you don't have a development agency.
I think I've tried to talk to most of the issues, and I'll give over to
thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, if you look at the challenges that you have raised, you have raised the challenge of project management. Basically, if you look at the planning that is happening up to now, and this will take time, you find that there's a planning that is supposed to take place at an executive, at a decision-making level. People who are taking decisions on allocation of subsidies based on need, of course, that has been raised by municipality. That planning have this problem here. And here, sitting here as implementing authority, we are actually raising issues that we are solving at an implementing level in terms of planning, where, because we are a local government and housing department, sometimes you find that, I mean, a visit down, the support that you must get from finance, the support you must get from our corporate services, sometimes it's late. Some of the things that we have actually solved in a very short space of time, where around you find that we are sitting with queries, I mean, where contractors, service providers have not been paid over a period of time. And sometimes when you look at the add to the revenue as to why those people have not been paid, and this reflects our spending as negative. The reason you find sometimes is that officials working in finance, they will be querying the documents that they have in front of them. Some of the queries were as fresh as because the people who are giving houses to, some of them can't read or write, they are not literate. So they will query a thumbprint to say, this thumbprint is suspect, and a number of other things. And those things would delay the payment. And based on that, we then said we need to meet as officials under one roof, so that also, given the fact that we have restructured, and having restructured, we have not filled all the forms. Now I'm addressing the whole issue around incorrect information regarding the availability of land and the reallocation of allocated projects by municipalities. Municipalities have been changing senior officials from time to time. We sometimes see the situations where a municipal manager does not even know what a land availability agreement is or how to draft one. Sometimes they give us, I mean, these land availability agreements with pieces of with signs that are not safe. And moving between the province and municipality, it takes time. Because when you go, sometimes municipal managers have not delegated any power to any housing official. And as you know, in the Free State, I think we can only talk of six major municipalities that may have a capacity to have a dedicated housing section or a dedicated housing unit. The rest of other municipalities are small. And from time to time, these new officials, they will centralize these delegations, go to other errands and all that. And you find that all those things, they delay. But sometimes because, I mean, houses must be built in wards, then it depends which ward council has got influence. Then when houses or subsidies are allocated, then there will be change. We'll say they must go to Area A. But the mayor and the speaker and other people will then decide, no, it's not going there, it's going to so-and-so's ward. And all those things, they contribute to delaying the delivery of houses here. And some municipal officials working in housing have come to us as a province to say, we need your assistance so that we are able to release this land. We are able to also, I mean, ensure that from time to time, when a decision is taken, maybe at a provincial level by the NEC, it cannot be changed by a mayor or a council or whatever. And those are some of the problems that and challenges that we face. Hence, you'll find that when we are supposed to start implementing as of April, we start in August because there must be negotiations at SALDA or whoever between the NEC and the affected municipalities and all that. Contract management, as we said, it's an internal issue because our legal section is based in corporate services. It's not based in housing. And we were saying maybe housing also needs a dedicated team of people who will work on its own contract management, because if you don't have the capacity to punish your contractors and your service providers when they have not delivered on time, then it then explains why we always, our projects are always ending late. Our sub-director project management presence is only staff with one person, which is an internal weakness we have raised with the entire department. And we have also raised the reality that as our grant is increasing in the province, but our staff has always declined because people through natural attrition and a number of other things, they retire from work, and you look at the component, it has always decreased. And in the following financial year, we'll be close to $1 billion. But the staff that is there will not actually be projecting the reality of the money that we must spend and all that.
Now the question was what is new? And we thought that trying to break this down between finance, housing, corporate services, local government, trying to ensure that employees are not only stuck in one place is the first thing. But the second thing we are doing, I think we are engineering many processes there. One of the areas was around the payments to service providers. When we're saying, we actually discovered that some of our officials in finance, and some of them, they are junior, they had the authority to decide whether the documents in front of them are legitimate documents or not. And it's only now where we said we cannot allow that. We also talked about, if you look at the challenges, inconsistent policies internal. Where you find that as we employ new staff, we are not investing there. And they don't understand some of the programs. They only know one program and all that. And that reality has meant from time to time that when we are under pressure to build housing, there will be staff who will not be processing applications at a higher pace and all that. And given now the reality of a delinking beneficiary present in the free state, maybe, to try to put the chair at ease, we are not yet developing on green space. All our developments are in field. In terms of our own risk assessment, what we are worried about is that we may build a house on a site where there's a sex, but the person is saying there may be someone, maybe let's say from outside South Africa. And the argument, or someone who does not qualify in terms of the criteria. And now the argument is that that person might have stayed on that site for a number of years and acquired certain rights. Now the question is, you build a house, that person does not qualify for a house, but you build a house on a piece of a site that belongs to a municipality, but that particular person has been staying there because municipalities sometimes they don't have capacity to remove people and they place themselves on all these sites. And these sites were given them by municipality. They give us that, a list of sites. We do searches on these sites and all that. So our fear is that we may build a house on a property or a site where someone does not qualify for a site. And we are trying to see how are we going to mitigate that particular risk. But for now, most of the sites that we have are accompanied by names of beneficiaries. And we have actually adopted an approach that says we'll start first with all those same sites. In other words, we're going to start with all those sites where we know that we have already been approved beneficiaries and all that. And we hope as time goes on, this reality, someone will then give us directly in terms of what then happens if we build on those risky sides. I mean, you have just said now, Chair, it may be a wasteful expenditure and all that. And we have raised that also with our internal auditors and our risk manager for them to assist us.
Okay. CFO, can we come back to page 4? Page 2, I'm told.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Chair, we can't just allow this picture to pass us without some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the second, it reflects expenditure outcome.
Mm.
Out of the 10 programs, only 3 seems to be performing.
Yeah.
Can the CFO talk to this?
Madam?
Especially in the light of your earlier comments, the concern is, why are people still program managers under these circumstances? Mm. Thank you.
You. Thank you. Thank you. But then, can you also explain the horrible the graph? The cash flow is ideal and nice, but then the practical spend, extra spend, is terrible.
But then,
the first question on the on slide number 6 on page 2. Like I said, the person we last year I think we had a major challenge of planning. If you look at number 1, the internet, that program we didn't spend the time. In that program we wanted to alleviate the problem of we wanted to deal with the block project. But before we can do that, we first wanted to do our server audit to say where are these block projects, what are the problems. And that exercise took us some time before it can be started. I think it's only at the end of the financial year where we had a report that explains exactly what happened and where is the project and what is the status of those projects. Is it project that we can that needs to be started afresh, or is it project that we can resuscitate on? So that information we got is late in the end of the financial year. As a result, nothing couldn't have happened. We didn't do anything in that area. The other one is the institutional subsidies. We plan to have a project in Makabe, in Belcom. And that project couldn't come off the ground for several reasons. That's why there was no space in that area. And we also had the emergency housing assistance for the budget of 10 million. Like I said, we were faced with a major problem of planning. Because really, we shouldn't even have put the money there. We must admit that. Because we didn't even have the statistics to say where is our emergency. When we had emergencies, our disaster management couldn't really come forth to say, yes, the disaster, this is where you are supposed to be addressing the issue. So, and again, it takes us back to the issue whereby the local government was not putting in one house, but we were not listening to one another. That's the issue that I have already indicated and said we have worked on it to try to sort out those problems. The rural housing support, we had a project in Tijon's court that we wanted to, maybe I must clarify this one, because I think last week made the...
Is Tijon's court rural?
No, not necessarily rural, because it's a farm worker. The farm worker project, where we wanted to build houses for the farm workers, and in the sense of farm, not rural like Kwa Kwa and Tabang, not in that context. So that project also couldn't get off the ground for several reasons. I think one of the reasons was the municipality Mukata couldn't put services in the land that was identified, and we did give them money. So the project is going to start in the current financial year. We gave the money to us, I think towards the third quarter, we gave the money to the services in that year so that we can put it out. And affordable state rental, we planned a project in the White, and that project was in the local ground. I think that's and then the other one was on the...
If you can raise the volume
on
now.
The graph.
The volume now, and the graph, yes. Yeah.
There is a person like I mentioned in the other stuff that planning was our main focus. The plan annual cash flow, if you look at it, really does not fit a realistic figure. Because there's no way that at some stage we're going to, month on month, we're going to spend this time so. So from the offset, our planning was not right. And if we have to say that April we were very, very low. It's not a question that we didn't spend April. If you remember the change that we had about the advance that we paid at the end of the 2007, and that advance has an impact on the following financial year, in the sense that when contractors were supposed to be continuing with the new project, they were then supposed to have finish the project where we have given them that right. That lowers our expenditure at the beginning of the financial
year. What you're saying, madam, is that you pay contractors in advance.
Yeah, that was the reality at the end of the financial year 2007.
Is that allowed in the CFMA?
There has been a long debate on that.
There should be no debate. This is a state law. And this is why I'm asking if they're allowed in the CFMA.
I'm going to answer that. The CFMA does not allow that.
Good.
But the Housing Code and the Housing Act allow that. And I mentioned this at National Treasury when we had the CFA program to say, we need, even at our provincial treasury, I mentioned it to say, we need the assistance of the two treasuries. Because there's that class between the Housing Code and the Housing Act and the
National Treasury, you're picking up that issue. Eh? Look, there's an amendment coming of the whole CFMA. And I think all of these codes must be talking to the CFMA. What is, madam?
So if you look, I think that's where like the problem. At the end of the financial year, that type of graph, I think I've tried to explain to say that the 17 million is there that we paid for buying of land. So that's the one that contributed to the
buying of land. Buying of land.
Yes.
Where?
We bought the land from Kansnet, including that and
Kansnet.
Yes, what happened to the
government land?
Yes, what happened to the is
no, it's fine, don't worry about it. We'll have to find a way of getting into that ourselves. Don't motivate.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but we bought land stuff.
No, this is my point. I mean, Kansnet really selling so expensive. Problem, huh? Okay. Right. National Treasury. What's your take on all the four? You can selectively decide to talk to each one of them, but that's broadly.
I have no doubt in my mind that these challenges that we talk about today, there will be challenges setting. And purely because having checking this thing for the last hour or two, I don't think we really have a honest conversation. We proved out some of the challenges, but our intervention strategy in missing out on challenges going forward are just not missing out. And that is why I say there will be many challenges going forward for as long as I can come out, because our clear strategic intervention from where we sit is just not addressing the challenges. Either we don't know what we're going to do about this way, the way for Constitution Section 100 one day, and it will come with our problems, and that's the issue. Or we sort it out today, or whatever the case may be. I mean, I just want to go and touch on one or two things. I've been a good talkative on that, which is great now and then, the number of propositions that are made here. I'm not sure whether we also have a common conversation there. Do we really know the land that's available out there? And who owns the land? Does it own, municipal own, and all these sort of things? And what is the position? What is our observation from when we speak as a province, A, province B, and so forth? What is the slogan around having this kind of land? And let's have a honest conversation around this issue so that we can plan properly around how we're going to unblock that sort of a suitable sort of a land that is promoted in the province, and how does it really harm us in the environment. But that is just not clear from the provincial side. We can sit here and say, people, look, we have this problem. It's sitting here. Most of it is privately owned, municipal owned, and so forth. In theory, obviously, municipalities, we have to be a lead sort of player in housing development. There's just no two way about that. So of course, we can talk about the issue around capacities and so forth and so on. But there's just no debate about it. They should be taking it around how we develop and how do we then sort of deal with that. Poor quality of structures? Look, it's another problem. it's also mentioned, poor quality and all this other thing. We will have these kind of things. Go and block projects, rectify projects and all this other thing. But the question that we should be asking ourselves today is basically, why do we have this problem? Is this a product cost? Is there a subsidy amount that leads to this quality? Is this how the tendering issue that are out there and we should be dealing with them? Or is it purely the contractor availability? I mean, contractors entering the market, they don't have the technical ability to construct and so forth. Let's have a conversation around this issue. What is the observation? Why do we have poor quality of housing now and then, and that inspection continues? And how best we can deal with that? Because we're going to talk about capacity in later. and so forth. So that we can develop a clear strategy and how to deal with it. I mean, if the subsidy is so low, that's fine. That subsidy is so low, it compromises quality of housing, that's all about it. You know, if that's the case. But it's just not clear. Spend. One of these days, I guess the decision will have to be taken. Should we just put more resources to the provinces that have demonstrated over the years that they can actually spend the money? You know, and just take as much cash as possible from the provinces that have been doing it, right? And they go and put themselves in terms of how they can move forward. You know? But we should be also, I mean, I thought, for instance, if we take as an example, they will come here and say, okay, as much as we're waiting for the official or the conventional or whatever, but from where we see, there is one or two things that we have identified that we have huge decline in the last few years in delivery and spending and so forth. Unfortunately, that was not coming. But we should be trying to get. But because, I mean, the most logical thing going forward would be, okay, if housing can actually show that they will spend the money, we should be putting more resources in housing, obviously, a pressure problem, certain cases, those kind of things. Obviously, it won't necessarily be fair from somebody who sits in some province and say, but you know, hang on. But it doesn't look like the money problem. It's something else that we should be making a conversation so that we can develop clear strategies around that. I do think, I was quite concerned on commenting that we can send some of these things outside. I do think that we should go with it. Logically, we should also be talking about whether the IDPs are really working, you know, and why they're not working if they're not working, you know, and how to be best that. So we should be having really one of the conversation around that. But my last point is obviously municipal participation in housing development. We don't have greater participation. And when you ask, come and do it. But we must also look at this later, because every time we have a slide that says capacity, and we look capacity to move on. 10 years we'll say we have that one line that says capacity and move on. But we shouldn't have this one, because there's no way we're going to get this right without a great conversation also from the municipal side of it.
And that is why we forever say people must start identifying this capacity, so that you don't just generalize the capacity constraints. Firstly, you must say it is an engineer and what we are doing about that. Because it can't be for the last 10, 20, 30 years the capacity. Surely is funding again for those things. Also in the context of this grant that we're talking about, there is some percentage that must be targeted to deal with capacity. So, identification of the capacity is a very critical thing. NHBRC, we thank you for coming. You will be part of this discussion. Your last breath, you're not on death row.
Okay, I will leave it to the chairperson of council to comment.
Madam,
if you allow me to say.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I just want to express our deep appreciation for being brought to this great gathering.
my view is that we are slowly on a learning curve. I don't think as South Africans we made these mistakes completely because we were ignorant. Some of these mistakes were made because we were not prepared to listen to the voice of Parliament and the Act. And we also were in a mode of experimenting, you know, having new freedom. Now, our fingers have been burned, we've learned our lessons. But we are all committed to rebuilding our portfolio wherever we are. I mean, I must just share this concern about capacity. It is a serious concern in this country, but it pains me that we have in this country thousands of university graduates who potentially could be put into the system and be trained within 6 months. We invest money in training those people and putting them in. In any case, I'm speaking, we are sponsoring engineers at tertiary level. We have 17. And amazingly, these students, the bulk of them come from rural areas, which are poorly serviced in terms of math and science. We have made it a deliberate effort that we'll concentrate on rural children. We are now going further down to high school to say, let's have a model of learning that is integrated learning system, so that our pupils don't study in silos in science and math. So they can take the knowledge that they've learned in a math class and relate it to the science class and vice versa and so on. So that by the time they come to tertiary, they stand a better chance of moving fast with the curriculum. So I'm just pleading with our members here that we cooperatively work together. Let's stop pointing fingers at one another. Instead, let's have an analysis of our strengths and our weaknesses and where our needs are, and let's completely jointly, all of us as people in the built environment, plan our future. Our country is burning. We know what the reason is around housing. And so it is not a small matter. It is a very big national mandate. So I just want to say thank you again. We will do our best within the NHBRC. But please, let's all see that we need one another. Thank you.
And just before I conclude, CFO, who do you use as developers in the system? You are developers yourself. Okay. Right. I think then, let me just say the following. To the NHBRC, as we said last time in our discussion, you will be our partners in this engagement. We will resolve this matter. And so the questions we have raised, we shall be repeating on an ongoing basis. And still, in other words, whenever we invite you, we want you to make a presentation on the issues we have raised. Because we do want them resolved, I think, as a starting point, so that we must have resolving those issues. And so we will be raising these matters on an ongoing basis until they are resolved. So my plea to you, therefore, that you must always prepare this kind of a report all the time. We shall be meeting with the problem. But number two, the police state has not convinced me, and I think they must do now. So that I want us to, they have said all the things. But before just saying that, we ourselves wanted to reduce the money for everybody here. That's under the promise. Now, National Treasury persuaded us. There are two grounds. They persuaded us. The first reason was that, as I said earlier, they were saying, let us show a commitment. Because if you reduce this money, people will go back into the cocoon and say, our money has been reduced. That is why we are not performing. And so, that's why we've taken this risk of giving the Eastern Cape 1.2 billion when they could not spend 1 billion. In fact, when they could not spend 500 million. And same for the other. Now, we therefore did not want to give people an opportunity to say, you know, at least this year we might have been better. But because the money was reduced, but secondly, this commitment, in other words, from the national point of view of government, national government is committed to giving more funding. That's basically the issue. But then the picture, we will be going back to the national department again about the picture now in respect of the Eastern Cape, in respect of the Free State. While I'm not able, I'm not going to ask the Eastern Cape to it me. Because the things stand, they are really messy. Of course, the Free State should be joining them, but CFO, what do you want to promise? Are you saying to me, 100 million rand is not going to be withheld again, this financial? Or is there a risk of this 100 million being withheld for more than the 100 million in terms of the new approach now?
I don't see it being there.
That's a huge one, eh?
Yes.
I'll hold you to that.
Okay.
Right. We will monitor, therefore, the following very, very, very carefully. It means if we call you, whatever you'll be doing, you've got to come. Eastern Cape, Free State, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and Limpopo. We will be watching you very, very, very carefully. Now, this is the negative story in the context of under performance. Now, the following, which I'll watch, because they are also risky. The Northern Cape, overspending. Gauteng, overspending. KZN, overspending. Now, there's an interesting thing about the Western Cape. By the way, we invited only yourself, precisely because of the state of affairs. There is no bailout, I must have said, for overspending. If you overspend, you own your own. That's another problem. You've got the PFMA things to deal with, but you also have to deal with the overspending yourself. How you fund that overspending is not our problem. I'm not sure how you're going to deal with that. So I'm saying, you must then be careful of moving from one extreme to another. Eastern Cape, and another. Careful of moving from understanding to overstanding. Because part of the bigger question then that would come up in respect of overstanding now would be one, whether these houses are in fact available. One thing. Number two, the quality of the houses. Whether they are falling apart, cracking, or whatever. And then, value for money. or sustainable housing to withstand the weather that are out there. And therefore, the impact on communities, in other words, sustainable livelihood and community dignity there. The Western Cape has an interesting thing called N2 Gateway. Another heading for the Western Cape. It's very fitting to our land. So we really thank you for coming, and we want therefore to urge you to do what Mr. Kofundo was saying. This issue of what planning is happening must not be compromised. But also, it must not be assumed by people are sitting in the comfort zone of the office. I mean, we've taken this responsibility to serve. And those things we must go and serve. Talk to community. Talk to everyone about these things, so that you don't parachute programs and projects that are not needed. Now, part of the bigger challenge, therefore, for all of us is this thing called migration. And then, how do we then deal with reliable data? It's another challenge. There are people that are moving from one point to the other in search of opportunity. How do we deal with those things? There's a brand new community survey, which is going to be the basis for the new allocation. There is a review of the equitable share, etc., etc., that's also dealt with by the FSP. That's going to be in line with the community survey. And therefore, the issue of unreliable data, people are always saying, no, the figures are not old figures, 2001 census. And what is worse is they also some start and say, no, in 2001 we were 400,000, and so now we are 800,000. Funny. We had an interesting story here from one MEP in County of Communication who was saying there's an area in Johannesburg where elderly people are residents, and so they are no more involved in reproductive activities. And so issues of migration are not informing new buildings, etc., etc. But those people are no more involved in making fields. And so our data surely must be tied. The Eastern Cape tells a funny story. They say when people are young, they go to Gauteng and the Western Cape. Fine, that's it. But when they age, they go back to the Eastern Cape to die. But then when you look at the figure that relates to pensions, you don't see that. You don't see the figures declining in Gauteng, and therefore growing in the city. They are all growing, all of them, in each and every province. Every figure is growing. And so this thing called migration then becomes some myth, kind of practical, I suspect, I'm not sure. So people are saying, I mean, across provinces, in the provinces, there are migrations, but also across provinces and municipalities and migration, but you never see these things. Figures are always growing all the time. Mr. Pugundi can tell you now, we were at a budget council. The Eastern Cape presents a funny report which they did about 2 years ago. Again, I was a bit angry in terms of that report 2 years ago, when the Eastern Cape at the time was showing 96% of spending on infrastructure, when all other provinces were at about 6% and so on. My question at the time was, where is this money spending in the Eastern Cape? But fortunately, 3 months earlier, we were in the same case, our health. Now, on Friday, the same case, let me tell my colleague who are not there. Did you know that the same case has about 4 billion rand cash in the bank? Very
true.
Now, in the midst of massive need, in the midst of massive poverty, unemployment, etc. And this is why I was angry when that was raised. I said, no. It's the morality of this. Because this Cape is moving from one extreme to the other. 3 years ago, they had an overdraft of 2 billion. All of a sudden, now they've got this huge pushing. Now they tell us 1.6 is conditional. They are wrong. Because you access conditional grants on the basis of a business. All right, let's agree, conditional grants. Why have they not been used for the purpose asked for? I've then asked the MEC there to go out there and list all of those conditional grants and give me a list of the national departments, because we've got to call the national departments and ask them, why have you allocated? But then there's still some 2-something billion. We were in the same case, I did say that our community. Talk to a community that raised so many needs. Now they are here to get 4 billion sitting in some account of a bank. Now, these are some of the problems that we all see on an ongoing basis of the community. Same departments that are before us here. So much money is sitting in some account. Trust accounts of municipalities, etc., etc. Again, the morality of that money is sitting there. In 1980, I'm told the lunch has been ready. I've been talking so much. I was between your lunch, and last time you did not have lunch with us. You left and you have invited NHGRC for lunch, and again I'm inviting you to lunch, and everybody is invited to lunch. And let's hope the weather is going to be fine so that you fly out. It can be fine if you're your flight will be delayed. The meeting is at hand.